Welcome to Thinks Out Loud, internet marketing expertise your business needs. I'm Tim Peter.
Well, hello again, everyone. Welcome back to Thinks Out Loud, your source for all the digital marketing expertise your business needs. My name is Tim Peter. Today is Tuesday, June 25th, 2019. This is episode 248 of The Big Show, and as ever, I really appreciate you tuning in. It means so much to me. I think we've got a really cool show for you today. So as they've done for years, the folks at Bond Internet, this is Mary Meeker, has released her annual report of the biggest trends in digital, the biggest trends shaping the internet and the internet economy. And Mary Meeker has been doing this for a long time. And for almost as long, gosh, at least 10 years now, I've been kind of pulling apart the Mary Meeker report to say, here are the things you should care about most. You as marketers, you as business professionals, probably want to pay the most attention to. The report's amazing. I want to be very clear. You should read the whole thing, right? Mary Meeker is super, super sharp when it comes to where the economy is going and where digital is going. But she's speaking to an audience of investors. And so many of the things that the report talks about are really shaped from the point of view of, as an investor, how should you use this data? And what I like to do is I like to say, okay, that's great. That's really important to a lot of people, really necessary. But as a marketer or as a business owner or as a leader within your organization, you also should ask, okay, how can I apply this in a way that makes me better at what I do, makes my team better at what they do, and makes my company more successful at what it does? And so that's really what I like to do with the Mary Meeker report, is say, how do you interpret this in a way that's most beneficial for your business? And so that's what I'm going to talk through today. And I'm very pleased, personally, because there's a lot of data in the report that underscores things I've talked about for a long time now. Now, I'm not going to be super self-referential and say, oh, that's a thing I've been talking about since, you know, 2005 or 2009 or 2011 or anything along those lines. I will link to many of the articles in the show notes or many of the past podcast episodes in the show notes that highlight those points, and I would love if you would check those out. But I really want to focus this mostly on the actual findings within the report and on what you can do about it. All right, so let's go ahead and dive right in. The first key trend that the Meeker report points out this year is that internet user growth is slowing. We're seeing the number of users, not total usage, but number of users grow at a slower rate than they've seen in the year prior, or frankly, at any time in years, if ever. The total number of users on the internet grew at about a 6% rate year on year. And things like smartphone unit shipments actually fell last year by about 4%. And there's a very simple reason for this. Internet penetration has now reached greater than half of the world's total population. More than half of the world has an internet connection. And that's, you know, going to have huge effects on how growth occurs in business. And it's going to have an especially huge effect on what happens to your business because of that. Not because there aren't more customers, and not because people aren't using the internet more. They are. We're going to come to that in just a second. But it shapes the behaviors of the people who serve those customers in ways that are really impactful to you. But I'll come back to that in a minute. Now, if we look at actual digital media usage last year, at least in the US, that grew by 7% last year. So people are, even though the number of people coming online is slowing down as a percentage, the use is going at about the same rate as we've seen over the last couple of years. So pretty impressive. And the time spent on mobile they expect will beat time watching TV this year for the first time ever. Now, one thing to be aware there, overall TV viewing is still a huge number since mobile and TV often quite literally go hand in hand. There are people watching TV while they are on their phones. So they're spending more time on their phones, but they also are watching lots of TV often at the same time. So it's really important to understand your customers live their lives online. I've said this many times before, right, that people don't go online. They are online. They carry the internet in their pocket. More likely, they actually carry it in their hands. A really interesting fact that's called out in the report is that about 1 in 4 adults, 26 U.S. adults, claim that they are online, and this is a quote, almost constantly. These folks are never not using the internet. More importantly, those numbers both have grown over time and are larger among younger adults. So our good friends millennials, or as I like to call them, adults under 40, and the burgeoning Gen Z category, are never offline. And within the younger categories, the numbers are even greater. Now, the report breaks them down in a different way that I'm accustomed to. So they're broken down by 18 to 29-year-olds and 30 to 49-year-olds. So it's not your typical Gen Z, millennial, Gen X categories. Obviously, we're getting some overlap in those. But for people 30 to 49, 36% are online almost constantly. And those 18 to 29, 39% are online almost constantly. So the point being that as boomers and the older generations begin to age out of the marketplace, your customers are going to be increasingly online because it's just the world they grew up in. It's how they've always acted. And we should expect to see more of that. I'll come back to that point in a moment because there are some interesting sub-points to beware. But the idea is certainly that these are folks who live their lives online and are likely to continue doing so for some time to come. Another interesting tidbit is that the top platforms for use, and this is where things start to get pretty wild, is that the top platforms were Facebook, no surprise there, YouTube, which of course is owned by Google, WhatsApp, which is owned by Facebook, WeChat, which is out of China and plays by a somewhat different set of rules, Instagram, which is owned by Facebook, and Facebook Messenger, which, say with me now, is owned by Facebook. So we're seeing that the bulk of places people spend their time are consolidating into a very small number of gatekeepers. Again, that will be a very familiar topic to those of you who listen to the podcast or read the blog regularly. And again, because internet growth is slowing, there's probably a greater need to monetize the traffic that those folks are getting. And we're going to come back to that in just a moment. What is interesting is that e-commerce growth, which continues at a healthy pace, is also slowing. But some of that might just be part of what happens when you achieve scale, right? Growth gets harder to achieve. You can't grow by 30 points when everybody's already doing it. E-commerce growth is up 12.4% year on year, which when you contrast that with physical retail growth of 2% per year, that's pretty great. They also call out that e-commerce is now around 15% of total retail sales in the U.S., but let's be fair, they're not saying what's influenced by digital. It's simply a statement of the raw numbers. They're also seeing that social media use is decelerating, is slowing down. It's only up about 1% year on year versus 6% a year ago. Even more troubling, they're showing that fewer people say that the internet has been mostly good for them personally or for society than would have said that 4 years ago. Those are down 2 points and 6 points, respectively. And as I was telling somebody on the phone earlier today, that's not a huge number, but also it's not nothing, right? It's a huge thing that we need to be aware. So they get into some really interesting points about, you know, is regulation coming and the like. And I thought there was a really fascinating tidbit about Facebook's many tentacles and how they reared its head later in the report. Very late in the report, they asked questions. They pulled data about customers' willingness to share health data with various companies. And the Frightful Five were among the tops they asked about, right? 60% said they'd be willing to share that data with Google. 53% said they'd be willing to share that data with Amazon. 51% said they'd be willing to share their data with Microsoft. 49% said they'd be willing to share data with Apple. And only 40% said they'd be willing to share data with Facebook. Now that's huge, right? Facebook is clearly having some challenges there. And as we've talked about before, some regulation may be coming there. Finally, last little set of stats. We're seeing that there's internet ad revenue growth has also slowed. You know, it's still growing. It's up 20%. But a year ago, it had been up 29%. And they pointed out, you know, Google's ad revenue has grown 150% in the last 2 years. Facebook's has grown almost 200% the last couple of years. But Amazon, Twitter, Snap, and Pinterest have all seen their ad platforms grow by 250% or more. Now, that's off a much smaller base, but just like the earlier point about people's trust, it's also not nothing. And they call out that the increased use of programmatic really is starting to show some downward pressures on the cost of advertising, which is great for advertisers. But it's less revenue for the platforms, and, say it with me now, it requires them to monetize those platforms even more heavily if they're going to drive continued growth. Now, all of these trends, slowing internet user growth, slower smartphone shipments, more downward pressure on internet advertising, lower use of social media, etc., means it's going to be harder for the big ad-driven businesses, the Googles of the world, the Facebooks of the world, the gatekeepers of the world, to continue proving to Wall Street that their growth is going to stay where it is. And since investment really depends on growth, that's going to be a problem for them. And they're going to keep raising the cost. But, and this floored me, I was so pleased to see this, in the report, Meeker points out a really interesting reality. I'm going to quote this directly from two different quotes. One, customer acquisition cost can't exceed the long-term value for very long. Meaning that at some point, advertisers are going to say, hey, enough, this is getting too expensive. Secondly, and this is makes me so happy, she says that effective plus efficient marketing equals one's own product plus happy customers, plus recommendations. Now why does that sound familiar to me? Oh, right, because that's what I've been saying for, the last 10 years or so. Right? Mary Meeker gives some great examples like Spotify and Zoom and Stitch Fix and Dropbox and Slack and SurveyMonkey and Amazon Prime and Twitch and others who use either freemium models or low-cost entry points to acquire customers, and then use their customers as what I like to call their secret sales force. Now, what I love about the fact that she calls this out is that this applies both to B2C and B2B, right? I mean, when we think about what this all means, digital, the web, is really about social, and by social, I mean people talking to people, on mobile, using visuals to tell a story, and then you as the business using the data to understand the customer better and improve your products and services. And the report goes through this in, you know, fantastic detail. It's some 330 pages long. But what you want to do is you want to get involved in storytelling in a really effective way. You want to enlist customers in telling that story, at least in part by giving them a great experience. And we know, we've seen it again and again and again, that when they have whatever experience they have, great or terrible, they're going to tell their friends and family and fans and followers about it. And if you give them a great experience, they're going to tell their friends and help you lower your cost of acquisition. You're going to attract more customers for a lower price. You know, if you think about great storytellers, they've said for years, show, don't tell. When you create a campaign, you're telling. But when your customers echo their experiences to their friends and family and fans and followers, you're showing, you're letting people see what an awesome experience that can be. And now here's the Mary Meeker report, laying out in detail why this is true and all of the examples of companies they're seeing be effective in this regard. That's huge. And yes, it absolutely underscores the content is king, customer experience is queen, data is the crown jewels framework that I've talked about for a long time, but I only talk about it because it's true, right? This is a really key point. And of course, there's great stuff. I said, you know, I would talk a little bit more about regulation or the like. You know, clearly that plays a role, but it only plays a role because we've provided less than optimal experiences, either because we've actually actively done negative things in terms of how we treat our customers, or we've actually actively, or sometimes passively, not been such good custodians of customer data. And so you put those together, and suddenly now regulators have to step in and protect customers from people who don't protect customers. So all of those come back around to say, tell a great story to your customer. Help give them a great experience so that they'll want to tell their friends and families about it. Use the data that you get from those experiences to further improve your product and services, and it becomes a virtuous cycle. Now, you should read the entire report because it goes into a whole bunch of other things or provides more detail than I can do in a 20-minute podcast episode about each of these points. But it's so worth your time. I highly encourage you to check it out. There's a link to it, and the slides are embedded in the show notes as well. So I would encourage you to do that. But the point in any case is the Meeker Report gives you a great roadmap to understanding your customers and what their needs are and how their behaviors are changing, so that the biggest takeaway for you can be how you can use that to create better content, create better experiences, gain greater insights from the data your customers leave behind, and grow your business for the long term. Now, looking at the clock on the wall, we are out of time for this week, but I'd like to remind you that you can find the show notes for today's episode, as well as an archive of all our episodes, by going to timpeter.com/podcast. Again, that's timpeter.com/podcast. Just look for episode 248. While you're there, you can click on the subscribe link in any of the episodes you find there to have Thinks Out Loud delivered to your favorite podcatcher every single episode. You can also subscribe in iTunes or the Google Play Music Store or Stitcher Radio or Apple Podcasts or whatever your favorite podcatcher happens to be. Just do a search for Tim Peter Thinks, Tim Peter Thinks Out Loud, or Thinks Out Loud. We should show up for any of those. I'd also, just as I was talking about a moment ago, very much appreciate it if you could provide us a positive rating or review while you're there. It's so helpful, and I very much appreciate it. As ever, I'd like to thank our sponsor. Thinks Out Loud is brought to you by Solo Segment. Solo Segment focuses on AI-driven content discovery and site search analytics to unlock revenue for your business. You can learn more about how to improve your content, increase your customer satisfaction, and make your search smarter by going to solosegment.com. You can also find Thinks Out Loud on Facebook by going to facebook.com/TimPeterAssociates. You can find me personally on Twitter using the Twitter handle @TCPeter. Or, of course, you can send me an email. Just email podcast@TimPeter.com. Again, that's podcast@TimPeter.com. With that, I want to say thanks so much for listening. I very much appreciate it. I hope you have a great week ahead. I hope you have a wonderful weekend. And I will look forward to speaking with you here on Thinks Out Loud again next time. Until then, as ever, please be well, be safe, and take care, everybody.